Fantastic. Thank you. I'm going to share my screen because that's always what I like to do. Okay. And I'm going to try to put, I have your, I'm looking at those of you who are here. I really appreciate those of you who have your videos on so I can see you. So thank you so much. So I'm going to be teaching to you. Okay. So this month, I was asked to speak about the Mazel of ER. And the mazel is a little bit complicated to speak about because it's, and I'm sure you've already been to a number of, like, I haven't been to the other shiurim, sorry. As I've said, I've been preparing Yeshaya almost exclusively at this point. And learning about it, the mazel of the month is a little complex because it's almost beyond what I can understand. It's related to a spiritual reality, a metaphysical reality. So preparing this really gave me a window into a different world. So I'd like to try to bring the messages of what is the mazel of Er, which is a shor, which is an ox, to something that relates to us. I'd also first, before I begin, I want to thank Andrea for inviting me to talk. It's hard giving up teaching, but at Baruch Hashem, I have some other big things going on, which should be finishing up. I'm starting my proposal for my dissertation now, so hopefully that means that there's light at the end of the tunnel. Okay, so this is a picture from when my husband was much younger. If anybody knows him, he now has gray and his beard is half gray, but this was back in the days when it was all black. So when Where's this picture from? So there is a place 45 minutes away from Rochester, New York, which is a living history museum. And what they did is they brought homes from all over the region from the before the Industrial Revolution into one area, and they brought all the animals into one area, and you could tour it. And so we went to tour this living history museum on Sukkot to see how what are some of the halachos and Hilchos Shabbos that relate from that we could learn from looking at times before. There was electricity, and before the Industrial Revolution, technology was sort of stagnant before that. And then it became much more commonplace. And all of technology was basically the same from the time of the Gemara until the mid 19th century. And then it changed very rapidly. So this brings you back to what it was like in the time of the Gemara. So when I was there, and to get to why I have this picture, when I was there, it was remarkable. There was this ox. These are two oxen that are sitting right a little 10 feet away. Now, I don't know if you could tell the proportions, but I was amazed by the size and the power of these oxen. We're used to seeing cows, right? You drive by the road and you see cows. You know what cows look like? Cows that provide meat, cows that provide milk, and they're kind of cute animals. An ox is not cute. So what I want to do tonight is to try to understand what does this powerful animal have to do with the month of ER. So first we're going to review what's happened in ER, and probably most of us are going to know what that is. And then we're going to look at what is the nature of an ox. Now there are two levels on which we can describe what an ox is. There is the physical level that what you're looking at on the screen is an ox. That's an ox, right? So how What does this ox, the physical nature of the ox, tell us about the month of the year? But then there's another reality, and that's the metaphysical reality. The shore is the physical manifestation of the shore represents something in the spiritual realm. And so the way we understand what's going on in the spiritual realm is we try to understand it through this physical animal. But there is a spiritual reality that sort of supersedes and is beyond what happens in this world, and we're going to discuss that as well, and how it relates to the month of the year. Okay, so my son, let's see if I can get this to, there we go. My son told me that whenever you talk about mazalos, I need to show you three pictures, which I will. So the first is what the stars look like in the sky, and you're going to go to me. This is Taurus. How does this relate to an ox? And there you go. Then you get the outline with the stars drawn in. And somehow this is supposed to look like an ox. But in all the Sfarim, the way it looks is like this, where this is the month, the mazel of ER is a shor, and that's Taurus, and it is the animal that is working the grounds. Okay. So, where do we get this idea of mazalo is from. So it's mentioned in the Sefer HaYetzirah, in Perek Hey, it tells us all the months, what they represent and what letters are associated with each month, which person's associated with each month. And so that's where we get our basic foundation of the meaning of the month. Many of the more Kabbalistic Sfarim lean on the Sefer Yetzirah. So we're going to look at this a little closely and see what are the themes that are within this paragraph, and then that's going to help us understand the mazel moving forward. So there is the Sefer Yetzirah says that the month of Iyar is associated with the letter Vav, with the concept, with the sense of Pirhor, of thought. So some months are associated with taste, with smell, with sight. This month is associated with thought. It's associated with an ox, and that's the month of Iyar. And then it also adds later that it's associated with the Shevet of Yisachar. So what do all these things have to do with each other? So we're going to have to do a little bit of detective work to understand it. Okay, so let's start with what has happened in the month of Iyar. So some of these things might be familiar with you, some might not. Let's do a quick review. This is the time for story time. So the Bnei Yisrael, they got out of Mitzrayim. That's what Nisan, we just talked about that a lot at the Seder, at all of our meals. And then Bnei Yisrael were in the Midbar. Now, when they left the Midbar, when you leave Mitzrayim has something very important. It has something called water. There's the Nile. There's ways. There's they can drink. They left Mitzrayim and they're traveling, and they have no water because they're going into the wilderness, into a desert. And so they complain to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they say, "Oh, so first they arrive at a before they complain about the water." They arrive at this place, Marah, where there's water, but it's very bitter. So they complain to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu provides them with sweetened water. Marah is also where we got the halachos of three halachos we got, including Hilchos Shabbos. So this is the first thing we get. Our first taste of halacha comes in the month of Iyar, and Bnei Yisrael get water. The second thing that happens was that when Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim, what did they carry on their backs? They carried their matzos. We know about the matzos, and that food lasted them for exactly 1 month. After 1 month, they had no food. So they came to Moshe and they said, "We need food." And HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed with this complaint. It wasn't necessarily said in the most refined manner. They were rather panicky. And he first at night, he sent them poultry. And then in the daytime, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made mun fall with a layer of dew, followed by the mun, followed by another layer of dew. And this mun was completely absorbed into their body. So they were now being fed directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are those that say that the mun started and began to fall on Tesvav Iyar. And there are others that say that Bnei Yisrael complains on the 15th of Iyar, but they had enough left for another 3 days, and the mun began to fall on Yud-Ches Iyar, which would become Lag BaOmer. So that's the mun. So far they've gotten water, miraculous water. They've been provided for with this bread that came from Shemayim. Next, they were traveling, and again there was no water. And they asked for water. Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock, and water flowed forth. And Bnei Yisrael were now provided with a rock that provided them water for their entire travels. As they were traveling, a nation called, they came to Rephidim, and a nation called Amalek decided to attack. They were Asher Karcha B'derach. They happened to come upon them, and they attacked. And Moshe Rabbeinu asks Yehoshua, who's from Shevet Yosef, to go fight against Amalek. And whenever Moshe Rabbeinu held up his hands, Bnei Yisrael won. Whenever Moshe Rabbeinu put down his hands, they lost. So Moshe Rabbeinu's hands were held up high. Yehoshua, who's from the Shevet of Ephraim, who's the child of Yosef, was tasked to fight Esav, because Yosef is the Shevet who is going to always be the one who fights Esav, to fight Amalek. And Amalek's power is the power of co belief in coincidence. They don't believe in a connection to Hashem. So far, we have that Bnei Yisrael are connecting more to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the way they get their water, through the way they get their food, through the halacha, and now Amalek is coming to battle them. The next incident that happens, which is mentioned explicitly in the Torah, is Pesach Sheni. So what was Pesach Sheni? So we're going to hear another name, a name that we've already heard so far. And that is there's a group of men who are carrying Yosef's bones. And Yosef's bones, because they were carrying Yosef's bones through the desert, they were not eligible to eat the Korban Pesach at the right time because they were tummy. And so they came to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, Moshe Rabbeinu, we would like to be able to participate in the Korban Pesach. And so Hashem made a special dispensation, a halacha, that they could bring the Korban Pesach 1 month later in the month of Iyar. So this idea of Korban Pesach also came in the month of Iyar. And finally, the last incident in Tanakh, there's another thing that we're going to mention next, but the last incident in Tanakh was the building of the first Beis HaMikdash by Shlomo, which took place, began in Chodesh Iyar. And the Torah, the Navi, calls this month Chodesh Ziv, a month of clarity, where Bnei Yisrael began to reconnect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where there was a special clarity that came, a sight, a vision that came. It's a bright vision that came to the Jewish people. So these are the incidents that happened in Iyar. So the other important overarching theme that we see in the month of Iyar is the idea that every single day of Iyar has a mitzvah. Now, while every other Nisan has the holiday of Pesach, which is one of the Shlosh Regalim, and Shavuos is in Sivan, and Tishrei has many holidays, but there is no day, month, that where every single day of the month has a mitzvah from the Torah that it's related to that time. And that is what happens in Iyar. There is the halacha of Sfira. So what is this month about? What is this Sfira about? Rav Tzadok tells us that the month of Sivan is going to be the month where we accept the Torah. So the month of Iyar is the time in which we are preparing to accept the Torah in order to be purified and to become holy and to be prepared. So the reason that we're the days of Sfira are days of preparation. And this, in fact, according to the Sefer HaChinuch, is exactly why we count the Sfira. So if you think about it, why are we counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 from the second day of Pesach all the way to Shavuos? So the Sefer HaChinuch tells us the following. It says that the root of the mitzvah is that Bnei Yisrael didn't get out of Mitzrayim so they could be free. That wasn't our goal. The goal of getting out of Mitzrayim, of having Pesach, was not so that we could be a nation like any other nation. Rather, the entire world was created and was waiting for the Jewish people to accept the Torah on Vav Sivan. And so the entire reason that we got out of Mitzrayim was so that we could accept the Torah on Vav Sivan. So Hashem comes and says, I want you to start counting as if you are desperate, as if you're counting down the days to, when my son is coming home from Eretz Yisrael, we were counting down the days. So how come we don't count down the days when it comes to Sfira? We count up. So there are many explanations, but one of them is it would be too depressing if we start by the number 49. That would be a big number. So instead, we go 1, 2, 3. It's less depressing. And once we're already in the rhythm, we don't switch in the middle. But we're trying to get ourselves ready for Matan Torah and focusing that this is the essential time. This is what we are doing right now. We are preparing for Matan Torah. And so we start counting. So you might say, well, why don't we start counting from the first day of Pesach? And so the Sefer HaChinuch says, well, you need to have at least a little bit of time in order to get ready you need to have a little bit of time to acknowledge the miracles of Pesach. So that first day, we leave it as a day unto itself to acknowledge the miracles. And starting from a very special mitzvah, the mitzvah of Omer, we start counting to Shavuos. And so we connect it to, we don't want to say, this is the first day to the second day after Pesach. That would be weird. So there's a carbon that's brought on the second day, the carbon Omer, which is very special. And so we connect the mitzvah from the carbon Omer. And that's how we count in order to get us ready to show that our entire desire is to get this mitzvah and to get the Torah at Har Sinai. And so this connects to two things. First, there's a Vav. We said that this month is connected to the letter Vav, right? The letter Vav is a line. It's a line of connection. If I want to say I have milk and eggs, I would say chalav u beitzim, right? I would use the Vav to connect two things, right? Savar virifka. The Vav is chibor, it's connection. And if you look at the Vav, it's also a line. So it's connecting what's above to that which is below. So the letter Vav is connecting the Hashem to its people. So the month of Iyar is the connection of Hashem to his people. The person who represents this month is Yisachar. Yisachar is the Shevet who is compared to a chamor, who's compared to a donkey, because he bears the burden of Torah. The Torah calls him Yodea Itim. He is the one who is a Talmidei Chachamim. He made up the Sanhedrin. He learned all the halachos. So Yisachar is the one who represents this month, because this is the month of preparation for Torah. And we're going to see later why that's important as it relates to the shore. Okay. There's another something else that's related to this month, which I thought was interesting in an interesting concept to discuss, is that the Avos, it says, the Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Minayin shen b'nisa noldu avos, shenemar vehi b'shmonim shanav arbim barba mo shana letzeis b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim b'shana arviyas b'chodesh ziv b'yareach shenoldu bo zivaseinu zivoseini olam. So it tells us that there's a certain number of months from when the Avos were born. And it says in the fourth year, in the Chodesh Ziv, and Rashi says, Chodesh Ziv is Iyar. Shenoldu bo zivaseni olam, kishenis chadesh Iyar noldu kvar b'nisan. So what is it saying? It's saying that this month is called, it brings a proof that how do we know that our Avos were born in Nisan? It's because we call the month of Iyar Ziv, and because by the time Iyar came around, all the Avos were born. So the principle that's being recognized here is that Iyar has a different status than every other month. If you look at Nisan, half of Nisan, we were still in Avdus. Half of Nisan, the Avos weren't born. Half of Nisan, we didn't have it great. But come Iyar, for the entire month of Iyar, this is the first month where we could say, we are free men. This is the first month where we could say the Avos exist. This is the first month where we could say the Mishkan was standing for the entire month. And so this month represents the completion, the connection between Bnei Yisrael and whatever mitzvah started in Nisan. So it's a little bit more special than just, okay, Nisan was, we think it's the beginning, but really its full power only came to be in the month of Iyar. Okay, so how does all these topics connect to what we know about the ox? So if you remember the picture of the ox, what do we know about the ox? So the ox is very powerful. The ox, if you saw it in that picture, it was living off by itself. There weren't other animals in its enclosure. The ox is not an animal that does well with other animals. It can be with its partner who pulls the plow with it, but they don't put the cows and the oxen together because the oxen are more violent, which is probably why the entire, you know, Gemara and precious Mishpatim are all about these ox lekors, right? Because oxen are not famous for being patient animals. So, and they're very powerful. And this is what the Torah says about the shore. Be'en alafim evus bar. So alafim is another name for oxen. So when there are no oxen, your fridge is going to be empty. It's like when you didn't go shopping after Pesach and everybody ate you out of house and home all of Pesach. I don't know if this has happened to you, but it happened to me, right? You go and you're like, you open up expecting there to be some leftovers and nothing's left. So that's what happens. That's what happens. If you don't have any oxen, your fridge, your pantry is going to be cleaned out. The rav tvuos b'koach hashor. And most of the produce is going to come from the power of this ox. The ox is very powerful. As the Maharal tells us, There's nothing more powerful than the shore. The Gemara Chagiga adds about the physical power of the shore that there are that the Melech Shebachayos Ari, the king of the animals, when we think of it, king of an animal, right? That's the lion. The lion is the king of all animals. Our Melech Shebabehemos Shore. But there's another class of animals, and those are the animals that are brought as karbanos. There's the that are domesticated animals, and those are the behemos. They don't eat and harm other animals. And the king of these animals are the shore. So the shore is the most powerful, but it's not as powerful as the lion. Something else that will help us understand the depth of the month of Mazal of Iyar is to look at the name of the animal. So the shore in its power, it's strong, it has gvura, right? Which is a third line. That's the power of the shore. There's nothing stronger than the shore. In Nisan, we got out of Mitzrayim through the midah of Chesed, through the midah of Hashem just giving to us because he loved us, because we're the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The month of Iyar has the koach of the shore, which represents gvura, which represents din, which represents the strict lines and boundaries. There's consequence, there's direction, and we can see this in the name. The name shore comes from the root shura, which is at once there are rows, which are boundaries. There's a way to go, and if you go off one side or go off the other side, you've fallen off the edges, right? There's if a person's going on a road, you can't veer to the right or the left. And in Aramaic, the word shura means wall, a choma. There are boundaries. There's things you can do and things you can't do. We see this also with the name bakar, which is cattle. So bakar is related to the word boker, morning. What happens in morning? So at night, everything sort of looks fuzzy. It's romantic. It's unclear. Boker comes, day comes, and all of a sudden, I have clarity. I can see what's black, what's good, what's bad. I can see distance. I can recognize people. So clarity means that there's going to be a right and wrong because it's not that things are fuzzy and I can wiggle around. So bakar also comes from the root of boker, which means that there's a clarity that things can be checked out. The speaker cholim also means that you're going to check out what's going on with the person who's sick. And boker also means from the language of mubukeres, that it's separate. It doesn't live with other animals. That there's a place where it lives and place where other animals lives. There's a distinction. And finally, har, which is the female, yes, it provides milk and meat, which is from the language of paru v'ravu, that it's increasing. But that root also comes into play with lahafrid, to separate, geder, to make a breach. The root peresh also means separation, division. So the word shor is somehow represents justice. And so this is what I found a sefer, an incredible sefer from by called Chodesh Hashanah, which goes through the months and how they relate to the mazel by Rav Aaron Schwab. And he says, Nimsa, we find that the ox represents the attribute of justice in the world. The After the first month, we had this month which was a sheep. Why, which represents the chesed of Hashem, why are we now coming with a din, with the justice of the shore of the ox? And so this is going to bring some of what we've learned together on the physical level. So if you think about the animals, so what do you think about a sheep, right? But think about a sheep. Okay, imagine it in your head. It's white, it's fluffy, it's cute. I have like a lot of stuffed animals in my house of sheep, right? Shepsula, and I could have brought them and held all of them up. They're all adorable. A sheep can't really take care of itself. It needs its master to take care of it. And it needs to, the story that we have about the sheep, right, from David HaMelech, where Moshe Rabbeinu, I think it was Moshe, where he saw a little sheep And he first he let the weak the little baby sheep out to feed on the softest grass. And then he let the older sheep out so that they would get the next grass. And then he let out the middle-aged sheep to get the hardest grass. And when he had a sheep that ran away, he had to run after it and hold it and carry it back to the flock. And that was how HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew he was ready to take care of Klal Yisrael. So sheep really need a lot of nurturing. And that's the mazel of the first month of Nisan. It's this nurturing nature that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of us, that he loves us, that he treats us as his sheep. In Iyar, here's a different idea. Iyar is already the mazel of the shore. Iyar is the mazel of the ox. An ox works hard. The ox is a physical animal. The ox is there to represent that the month of Iyar is when we need to buckle down and start to accept the Torah for ourselves. That it's not enough that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the love of the Kodesh of Nisan, of taking us out of Mitzrayim. Now, in the month of Iyar, we are doing the work. We are going to work hard to become like a shore, to become like an ox, where we will accept the Torah. And so, through that event, through that acceptance, and through that hard work, what happens? We come to the month of Sivan, where now we're like twins. We are connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Iyar is the month where we connect to Hashem through our hard work, so that we become like people and we become Dovek to Hashem. We become close to Hashem like twins. And that's the mazel of the month of Sivan. And so, Iyar has this idea that the Shevet of Yisachar is going to be the Shevet of the month, because we need to work hard at learning Torah. We need to work hard at accepting the Torah in order to become able to accept the Torah in the month of Sivan. Okay, so the Pri Chadash of Tzadok tells us the following. He says, what happens? You look back on the month of Nisan, and maybe it was, we were, I don't know how I had the strength. Baruch Hashem, I had the strength to make Pesach. And the amount of effort that we put in into making Pesach was really miraculous every single year. But in terms of the cleaning, the organization, the spreadsheets, right? It's really somehow the rest of the year, I don't think I work as hard physically getting ready for Pesach. And every day I'm like cooking lunch and supper. There's a lot of just koach that we just get that allows us to, persevere in through Pesach. And we might say, I wish I had that now. Somehow I'm exhausted, right? Making dinner tonight was hard. And so we did takeout. But it was like, I can't cook anymore, right? What's happening? And so we might say that we miss it. And this is actually the way it's set up for us, that the month of the Leil of Yetzias Mitzrayim, there is this inspiration, and then it says in the second line, "V'achar kach ne'olam," it goes away. And then Bnei Yisrael came to Kriyas Yam Suf, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu split the sea, and even the Shifcha Layam, even the maid servant, saw Hashem and got Nevuah, and then it went away. And we might look at it and say, which is the fourth line from Rabbinim, Al tomar shayamim harishonim tovim me'ela, ki lo mechachma she'elas al zeh, ki lo mechachma she'elas al zeh. Don't say that the original days, those days of Nisan when things were coming to us and we were happy and joyful and had energy, that those were the right days. Oh, I wish I had those. But don't get nostalgic. Shehiba rak b'she'ela. It's coming, and I hope I don't know if the Nakudos were right, but it's coming just as alone. The Rav Tatz has this book, Living Inspired, where he describes how a person is going through darkness. And all of a sudden, they're going through darkness, and there's a bolt of lightning, and it comes and it lights up, and they can see everywhere where they're supposed to go, and the path is clear. And then the lightning goes away, and they have to get through the path on their own. That's what Pesach is. Pesach is a bolt of lightning that lights us up, that gives us inspiration. We attain levels that we can't attain naturally. And then comes the month of Iyar. And the month of Iyar, and so that's so in Shehiba, Shemar in La'adam, Mashiach Haleknos, Aydei Yigeso. We are able to see that which we can do if we work hard. Ubisivan, Zachu Bikinyan. And Sivan, we're actually going to get there. So, what do we need to do? We need to work hard in the month of Iyar to get to the point that we were in Nisan, so that when we come to Sivan, we can accept it. And this is why there is, it says at the end, this is why it has that letter Vav, because the Vav is connecting us. The Vav is connecting us from the month of Nisan to the month of Sivan. Somehow we need to be able to get from point A to point C. And the way we get there is through hard work of the shore that brings us to the month, through the month of Iyar. Every single day, counting the Omer, where we say, today I'm working hard so that I can get to those levels. I know that I can be patient. Today I'm working on my patience. Today I'm working on my midos. Today I'm learning Pirkei Avos. Today I'm understanding. I'm working on whatever mitzvah it is, so that I can make this as a kinyan. Okay. And so the Shemesh Mole says something which is actually remarkable. He says, "So what happens? You're so inspired in Nisan, right? And you're able to go to shul and daven and cook meals and like all these things. The Pesach is like, wow, you're there." And all of a sudden it's gone away. And we're kind of feeling bummed. Like, okay, now I'm just like, it's May, right? I can't believe it's May, but this is how do I deal with this? And so the Shemesh Shmuel says, you start to feel a lack, and you start to feel not as great about yourself, because all of Nisan, I was able to achieve such greatness. And now I'm not. Now I'm exhausted. And so a person could start hating themselves. And he says this, Vinasa sonias atzmo. You can start to hate yourself. And that seems to be like a really bad position to be in. We should love ourselves. But the Shemesh Shmuel says something that's remarkable. He says, what's happened until now? So what's happened until now is we've been walking with our blinders on, not recognizing what our potential was, that we didn't realize that we could actually achieve anything. So we're walking around in life and we think we're great, we think we're fantastic, and everything's good. And then comes Nisan and we see how great we could be. And then it's taken away from us. And then we start to say, wow, I'm not so great. What have we just become? Yes, there's that element of self-hatred, which is how the Shemesh Mole puts it. But we've also Hashem Yisbarach Shomea Ba'anav. Hashem hears that we now have that midah of anava. We're now at a feeling low, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu always comes and supports those who are feeling low. That feeling of depression, of sadness, is actually a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu could enter. Because when we're feeling complete, there's no place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to come and support us. But when we're feeling lacking, that there's something more I can achieve, but I'm not there yet, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu can step in and he can bring us higher. So the fact that a person feels far from who they really should be, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu can come and help them. And that's the Vav, that this sense that we're not where we were, but we know where we want to get to. That's the Vav where we're now connected more to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. And so now let's connect this to the shore. So comes from the Tzkufas Hashanah, which is by Shmuel Stern. He says that the shore is the king of the behemah. So what do we bring for Sfiras HaOmer? So the Omer is brought from barley. And the barley, and I believe this is written in the Nisi of Shalom, the barley is an animal, it's a meichel of animals, right? This is what animals eat. They eat barley. On Shavuos, we're bringing the carbon of the shtei lechem, which is made from wheat. So we're bringing the carbon, which is fit for man. So we get from Pesach, where we were all inspired, but we're really just animals. And we're getting to Shavuos, which is the carbon of man. And so we move from the Nisan, which is this the Tle, which is the sheep, and to Iyar, which is the shore. And then we move to Sivan, where we're people. And this is the connection that we're moving from these barley through to becoming people by the hard work that we're doing, like an ox. Right now, we're working very hard, and that's the way it's meant to be, because that's how we become people. We don't become a person by having everything given to us. Rather, we only become a person by working hard and connecting to Hashem. Okay. There's another idea that I think is important, that's related to the physical manifestations of the shore. And I thought this was a beautiful idea. This is from the Imre Noah. Okay, so the shore is the physical animal. It works really hard, and we've discussed this already. And it's somehow in this month of Iyar with the month of Yisachar. We're going to find that Sivan, which is the month of the Torah of the Ta'umim, has with it connected the is the month of Zevulun. So the Imre Noam says the following. He says, "I'm about to give you the Torah. I don't want you to think that the ideal way to live is to be completely with only learning Torah. I want you to realize in Ein Kemach, Ein Torah. If you don't work, if there's no physical labor, if there's no laboring for your parnasa, then there's no Torah. Then ein Torah, ein kemach. And if there's no Torah, you're not going to have food either. And so the month of the shore, the month of that ox that is providing all of our tevuah, all of our produce, is the month connected to Yisachar, saying the two of them have to be together. You can't have one without the other. And the second idea is in Sivan, when we get the Torah, that's where Zvulun comes in. Zvulun is the shevet that represented that he went and earned a living for Yisachar. So the two things are always working together, that the shore is with Yisachar, Zvulun is with the Tu'umim, that we always have to be working to elevate the gashmias and the rochnias. That we don't just live in a spiritual world, and we don't just live in a physical world. We live in a world where we elevate the spiritual, the physical, to become spiritual. And this is what we are doing in the month of Sfira. We are counting that this Sfarno says, Hisalech lifanai v'yetamim. We're supposed to count 7 complete weeks. What does this mean? So the Sfarno says that we have to be, what is tamim? V'knei hashlemas ha'efshar l'min ha'enoshi, hasechel v'yadua osi, haskel v'yadua osi, b'yadiyas darachai u'b'hidamoscha elai kefi ha'efshar etzleich. What does it mean to be pure? It means to be complete, that we resemble HaKadosh Baruch Hu as much as possible. So how do we do this? We need to become tamim. We need to be resembling Hashem as much as possible. And we do that by every single day when we are working hard, elevating every single thing we're doing to a mitzvah, to making sure that we're doing this with the correct intention. That Hashem has made us living in this gashmias world. We don't have special holidays where we're completely removed from, like on Yontif, where we were Pesach, Shavuos, or Sukkot, where we're removed from that, from regular life, and are focused completely on Ruchnias. Rather, the month of Iyar, every single day we're counting Sfira, but we're always involved in our regular lives because this is what we are meant to do. We're meant to take this month and elevate it and make it whole and make it tamim and combine the Ruchnias and the Gashmias. And that's where the hard work is, right? When we think about it, the hard work is not in, going to shul, listen to shiurim. The hard work is figuring out how am I going to fit in davening and listening and learning something and working on myself and all my different things and going to work and talking to my family and going to the doctor and remembering that everything is from Hashem. That's where the hard work is. The hard work is in the everyday life, remembering that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. And so that is the work of Iyar, where we're trying to elevate the Gashmias to the Ruchnias. And that's what it means to be tamim, to be whole, is that our everyday life is pure. Okay. And so the this is from Rav Schwab. He says this beautiful idea that we look at this month and we could say, so we have two Shvatim who represent this idea of Ruchnias and Gashmias, right? There's sorry, not Ruchnias and Gashmias. We have two Shvatim who represent Torah. There's Levi, who represents Torah, and then there's Yisachar, who represents Torah. So how come in this month of preparation for receiving the Torah, are we not connected to the Levi? So the Rav Schwab says, this is Rav Aaron Schwab, Rav Shimon Schwab's grandson, who lives in Eretz Yisrael. So He says the following. He says Shevet Levi is a different kinds of is very different. Shevet Levi, they were disconnected. They were so close to Torah that they were disconnected to other people. They didn't serve the ego. When Moshe Rabbeinu said Mila Hashem Eli, they went and said it, and they were going to kill. They were not good. They didn't know who their brothers were. They were ready to kill anybody who served the Avodah Zarah. They were completely removed from Gashmias, right? They were completely connected to Torah to such a degree that they didn't even get a nachla. They didn't even get a portion in the lands of Israel. Contrast this to Yisachar. The Shevet Yisachar served the ego. When after Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai and he threw down the luchos, Yisachar was part of the group that were serving the ego. And they have a nachla in Eretz Yisrael. They're connected to the physical. And so they are the ones who are meant to teach us how to use the physical to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they do this through the Mesiras Nefesh, through working hard, through sacrifice, through being like that shore, being like that ox that gives up things in order to achieve greatness. And that's why they are the representatives of this month. So in the time that we have left, I want to now look at the different aspect of the shore. And that is, so far we've discussed the shore as the physical, as the hard work, as connection between the physical and the spiritual. And really, in the month of Sivan as a month of effort. Now I want to look at a little bit differently, a little bit of a different theme, which is how is the shore manifested itself in spirit in the spiritual descriptions in the Torah. So the first place that I think is most important to mention is that in Sefer Yechezkel, there is something called the Merkava, which is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it's described as having is a kisei kavod, that there's a chair that has four different faces of animals on it. And it says there's an Aryeh, there's a man, which is Yaakov Avinu, and then there's a lion, and then there is a shor, there is an ox, and then there is an eagle. And so this represents how HaKadosh Baruch Hu influences the world. And we don't really understand what it means, but we see that the shor is one of the faces that's on the Kisei HaKavod of Hashem. And so it's not just a physical animal, rather it represents wealth, it represents the abundance in the world. And so that's just something to keep in mind, that there is that important role that it plays. We see also that there is a person who's compared to a shor, and that is Yosef HaTzadik. In the bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu gives to the shape to the shvatim at the end of his life, it says b'chor shoro hadar lo, the firstborn of his herd, majesty is his, v'karnei re'im karnav b'hem, amim yinageach yachdav. And it tells us that it compares Yosef to this shore. So now, as we said before, as we said at the beginning, we had Yosef was the one who fought Amalek, right? So we had this in this month. So Yosef, who's the shor, is fighting against Amalek. We also have another place in the Torah where the shor is mentioned. So when Yaakov is meeting Esav after he's leaving Lavan's house, and Esav is coming to attack him, he sends Esav a message, and he says to him, "Vayhi li shor v'chamor, I have to me a ox and a donkey. Shor ze Yosef." This shor is Yosef, Shenemar b'chor shoro hadar lo, chamor ze Yisachar, and chamor is Yisachar. Dechtiv Yisachar chamor garem. Uben beno shel Yosef, omei l'kalo ses Amalek. And Yosef, his son, is going to destroy Amalek. Shenemar v'chalosh Yoshua es Amalek ves ami amolifi cheref, which is what we mentioned. This was the battle that took place in Iyar. Ubanav sheYisachar yodin mash HaKadosh Baruch Hu oseh b'olamo, Shenemar. And this is Yisachar is the ones who are the ones who are the Torah scholars. So we see that the Medrash, when Yaakov is coming to fight against Esav, who does he mention? He mentions the shor, who is Yosef, and he mentions Yisachar, who represents the month of Iyar. So these two individuals, on a spiritual level, have been pre Yaakov Avinu said, these are my powers that are going to fight against Esav, which is Amalek, which is taking place in this month of Iyar. And what that means might be beyond this, but it's something to think about, that Amalek was the one who came, and Asher Karcho Baderech, he's coming to fight. He's saying everything is happenstance. And what does Yosef and what does Yisachar come to say? They have that vav hachibur. They have that vav of connection to say, no, we're always connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no mistakes. There's no coincidences. We're here to fight against you and the idea that you represent, that there ever could be coincidences. And this is what happened in the Milchamas Amalek. They stopped learning Torah. When you stop learning Torah, when there's a lack of connection to Hashem, then Asher Karcha Baderach. So then Amalek comes and says, "You think you're not connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu? Well, we're telling you there's no connection to Hashem." And so Yosef, Bnei Yosef, who were that sure, had to say, "No, there is a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that we are connected to the shore, which is on the Kiseh HaKavod." And so they came, and they connected the Chumrias of HaTorah, and they fixed that pagam. Now, there's somebody else. I'm not sure if I bring this up later. I think, yeah, I will. Okay, so there's another spiritual message that happens in this time period, and that is Pesach Sheni. So what happens with Pesach Sheni? And this is also, it's a little spiritual. It's connected to the spiritual idea, but I thought it was important to bring because I saw many sources brought this down. Okay, so what was Pesach Sheni? So Pesach Sheni was, they were carrying Yosef's bones. Again, Yosef is being mentioned. He's the one who they're connected to somehow. And they wanted to have the Korban Pesach. And so the Shnei Luchos HaBris tells us, the Chazal say, that this was being metaher, the sin of the ego. So this month, the fact that it's a shor, the fact that it's in a shor, is somehow connecting to the fact that they were wanted to serve the eagle, and it's fixing that sin. So what happened? So the people who are coming out of Mitzrayim, the Erev Rav, so the entire, all of the Makos taught Bnei Israel that there was no Avodah Zarah, there was no power other than Hashem. And that was done in the month of Nisan, when there was the sheep, which was the most powerful Avodah Zarah of the Egyptians. And so it was knocked out. And it was meant to teach them that there is no other power aside from Hashem. That means no sheep and no other Avodah Zarah as well. Well, this Erev Rav saw that there was no sheep. And so come the month, comes the Tammuz, they're worshiping, they decided, well, the sheep is the most powerful Avodah Zarah. That's knocked out. But maybe we should serve the second most powerful Avodah Zarah. Let's serve an ego. And so they decided, okay, we're going to serve the next power, which is the ego. And so this was what their intention was. The Aaron did not have this intention. He was connecting to the shore, which was connected to the Kiseh HaKavod. But these Erev Rav was trying to connect to the Avodah Zarah, and they were completely foolish. Comes the Pesach Sheni, and they're saying, no, we recognize that there is no power aside from Hashem. The sheep don't have power. The eagle doesn't have power. We are serving you, and we want to bring in this month of the power of the shore, of the power of the ox, we want to bring a we want to bring a sh a tle, we want to bring a sheep to show that there is no Avodah Zarah available. And so this is how it connects. So the mazel of the shor shows that there is a connection. And they made an egel. They didn't call it a shor because they wanted to get away from this idea that there's a shor that connects us, from us as Klal Yisrael, who are working hard, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, to the Masa, to the Merkava. Rather, they were looking at this shor, who had the which is how it's described by the astrologers, shor ochel esav, that it's a sheep, it's an ox that eats grass, that there is a power of the shor that's very connected to the physical, that is not connected to the spiritual. And so that's why we say that it's called the Chet HaEgel, because the shor, and this is a from Yeshaya, the shor is known, ki yada shor konehu, the shor knows its master, the shor stays connected, but the egel can be disconnected. And so the Amalek and Yishmael, they're each represent a different power from the Chamor and the shor. They are the ones who try to remove us and say, no, you're not connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whereas Yisachar and Yosef say, you're still connected to Hashem. Now, if we go to the Yavanim, fast forward a number of years, it tells us, and this is from Rav Schwab again. He says, what did they ask us, want us to do? They wanted us to take our oxen and to write on those oxen horns that Ein lanu chelek be'elokei Yisrael. They wanted us to take that ox that shows that we're connected to Hashem, that we work hard and Hashem has the Merkava of the shore and we're connected. They wanted us to write on there and say, no, there's nothing going on. You're not connected at all. It's all just an egel. It's all just happenstance. And so this was, and so this it says that on Chav Zayin Iyar, this decree from Achashverosh was gotten rid of because we became once again connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so, what is the lesson we're supposed to learn from this? So the and this is from the Ursa de something, if I could read very small. It says that we're supposed to look at this time on Pesach Sheni. And what was the chet of the Egel, where they said, Ela Elokecha Yisrael, this is your Elokecha Yisrael, this is the God you should serve. That we're supposed to see what are those things that are drawing us away from Hashem, those things that are drawing us away from being connected to Hashem and setting themselves up as alternatives for how we can improve ourselves, for how we can connect, for how we can, for what we should stay, for what we should do. That whether they're false other religions, whether they're people who are espousing false ideologies, whether they're things that take our time and move them into areas that are not pure. This month is a time when we're working on that Pesach Sheni idea where we're trying to say, no, we recognize that there are people who are going to have an ego, but we're staying connected to this concept of shor. We know that there is no power, not to the seh, not to the ego. There is no power outside of Hashem. And so, and this is what's it called? And he says that also this is why Yeravam brought the chet at this time also, that this month of Iyar is where we're rejecting external ideas that are challenging for us, that are challenging our connection to Hashem. Okay, so I think we're going to just go through, and now we can see how does this all relate to Iyar and how does this relate to the shore. So in this month, the month began, right? We got food, which fed us in this world, but we're completely connected to Hashem from this food. Mara, we got the Torah. We got Halacha, which is the Dalet Amos of Halacha, which is where we connect to Hashem through our ability to keep Halacha is how we connect to Hashem. Milchemes Amalek, they came with the power of that they were coming, that there's only happenstance, that everything is just the way it should be. But Yosef, the power of Yosef, who was the power of the shore, came and fought against Amalek that were always connected to Hashem. Pesach Sheni, they wanted to serve Avodah Zarah, but we brought the power of the correct power of the shore to play, where we now are rejecting the ego and saying that Yada Shor Konehu, that a shore knows its master. We know what is the right thing. The Binyan Beis Rishon, the beginning of the big building of the Mishkan is because we're connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're getting Nisan to Sivan. We're working hard to elevate the Gashmias to the Ruchnias. And the Yemei Sfira, again, is that connection of working hard and moving us from one direction to the other. So now this is, and now we can go back to the Sefer Yetziv, and I think we can all understand it, that there's the Os Vav, which is the letter. We saw the Chibor. We didn't mention, what is Hirhor? Hirhor is, where is all this taking place? All this is taking place in our minds. right? There's no mitzvos that we need to do in specific. There's nothing that says when a person does a chesed for somebody, the difference between whether it's a mitzvah or not is really all in their thought. So this month is a month of intention. Do we think about what we're doing and how do we think about what we're doing and make it service of Hashem versus not? So that's the osvav, that's hirhor. We explained how the shor is that physical animal. It represents Yosef. It's on the Merkava, and that all connects to the month of Iyar. Okay, so that is the connection. I'm going to stop the share. Okay, now that was a big overview, a lot. Are there any questions? I'm just going to do gallery view so I can see your beautiful faces. I can see everybody here. So if you want to have any questions. Okay. Is that a no?
I don't see any questions.
Okay. So I hope it
Thank
was
you so much,
clear.
Shira.
You explained it very well, Shira. Thank
Oh,
you.
thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Okay. Oh,
Thank you.
and
Don't
from
forget
Mr.
to count,
Baltimore, yes.
Shira.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm gonna wait till after it says for yes.
Thank you, Shira.
Okay, thank you. And it's good to see all my neighbors and my coworkers here also. So thank you for having
Shavua
your great
tov
lunch.
and
Shavua
have
tov,
a
and
good one.
I'll see you at the gym. Be'ezras Hashem.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes,
Yes.
take
Thank you.
care. Be
Thank
well.
you, Shira. Have a good night. We'll hope
Have.
to see everybody this week at classes.
Yes. Okay.
Understood, everybody.